Mr. Roy Smith, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time guarding Henlow. So you were still staying in Hitchin, but you were going to Henlow?
No, we were billeted at Henlow.
You went to...
We had a guard room and we were billeted there.
So nothing much happened in Hitchin then?
No. It's not very far from Hitchin, actually.
So what about what were your guard posts like? I mean, did you have anti-aircraft pits?
No. We just carried rifles, and we were situated around, and you had to march to your next man to your left, back to your post, to the man on your right, and did that all the time you were on guard. And we became so bored that one night. What was his name?
Don't worry.
Oh. Ted.
I'll leave you for the minute.
I'll forget his name anyway.
Tell us the story anyway.
But we met and we were bored to tears and we had whistles. And the camp was, they were all, you could hear them from the naffy and having a gorgeous time. So Ted said to me, he said, "Dare you blow your whistle, Smudger?" I said, "No." Well, he said, "We'll toss up." So, of course, we tossed up and I lost. So I blew the alarm whistle. Yeah, I'll get the court martial for this one. And, of course, the guard all turned out and it was pandemonium. And, of course, nobody ever found out who blew the whistle.
Did they try and find out? They tried to find out.
Oh, they tried very hard, yes. And then they came to the conclusion it was somebody returning from the naffy had whistled or something. Because well, the guard came running out. It was gorgeous.
Any other stories from that time?
Well, yes, at the same time, there was one officer, I forget, his second lieutenant, who was nasty, and his batman was called Pikerman. And he came sneaking round one night, and of course, Pikerman challenged him, "Halt, who goes there?" And he didn't halt. And then he did halt, and he said to him, "Pikerman," he said, "what would you have done if I carried on?" And he just pulled a trigger, bang, he got one up the spout. He fired it at his feet. There was no officers crept round after that. That's a true story, that.
So,
he was a real Cockney lad. He used to say, "What do you think of things?" And, but he said, "That's what I would have done, sir," and he pulled the trigger. There was no more sneaking up on sentries after that.
Now, anything else happened while you were there?
No, I think that was it. We were then sent to Dover Court.
Now, do you know when that was?
I've got the date actually of that in here.
You think it's October 39.
But it's...
It's Dover Court Camp, isn't it, in Kent? Is it Kent?
We were billeted all over the place in Dover Court. Some were at Kessingland and some were at Dover Court. And
I'm just wondering, is that Suffolk?
Suffolk.
Yes, because yes. I said, yeah.
Well, we were at Dover Court, and again, we were on guard. And looking over towards Landguard Fort across the water, and this particular evening, we saw this seaplane circled around twice and landed on the water. Well, we accepted that was all right. It was a normal procedure, and it wasn't reported. And after about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, it took off and went away. And we thought nothing more of it. We just thought it was one of our, just a normal occurrence. But then... at about 2 o'clock in the morning, it was moonlight when we first saw it. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, HMS Gypsy was coming out. Bang, up she went. It had been a magnetic mine they'd put there. I don't think that was ever published. HMS Gypsy, she would be the first destroyer.
So it was a German seaplane, ladies.
It was a German, obviously a German seaplane. But it wasn't camouflage, it was just silver.
And you just didn't...
We actually saw it. We didn't... The guard didn't even record it because we just thought it was one of ours. Because we were newly into the war. And so it was a huge bang and Then it was dark. We couldn't see very much. It was a buoyed entrance into the Harwich, you see. And he dropped it in the actual channel and blew her up. Now, how many were killed, I don't know, but there was an awful lot of noise and a great number were killed, I think.
And now, what were your billets like at Dover Court? Were you in the camp itself, or...?
We were in... I think we were in tents, bell tents, I think we were.
Now, what was it like living in a tent? Because it's getting winter in there.
It was horrible if it was windy. But we just had a ground sheet. We didn't have any palliasses or anything.
Was it not cold?
Uh-huh. We had overcoats. We didn't undress, I mean...
And how many to the tent?
I think it would be eight, I think, it would be a section. I couldn't tell you for truth. I think it would be a section. Eight men, I think it would be.
So what, anything else happened while you were at Dover?
Well, then, you see, the next night, the next morning, I was detailed, you report to Battalion HQ. There was a Corporal Leggett, me, my number what two, and two other gunner and his number one. We had to report to the RSM, who dished us out with five cases of ammunition. We didn't know why or what. They were big wooden boxes which you tore the tin lid off. And as it became dark, we were taken down to Harwich on board a train ferry. Now, the train ferries, there were four of them. It had a smokestack on each side. There was a bridge over fore and a bridge over aft, went over the lot, and there was four rows of 12 railway trucks on each. On the front bridge, that was where my allocation, there was a Bren already installed on its tripod, which they said, that's your position. So the two of us stopped there, and then Corporal Leggett took the other two down, and... they didn't have a Bren gun. They had a Lewis gun, which none of us had ever seen in our lives. And the first trip over, we never did get the damn thing to fire. Tack, tack, that's all you could get. But they took it off, and we didn't know anything about them. But I think the Tiffy, the armour sergeant, said it had a weak feed arm spring or something anyway. They took it off, and the next trip we had two Bren guns.
So you weren't on the Lewis gun, but you were on the Bren, but the other team had been on the Lewis.
Well, the first trip over, well, they just stood like stukas. They couldn't make it far.
Now, you were going on Channel Crossings?
Yes. Went across to Calais.
And what do you remember of the crossings? Well, the first,
we sailed at first light. It was rough a bit, and the captain of the ship, they were LNER railway men that ran it. They weren't sailors as such, they were LNER, they were all LNER employees. And the captain chap came along and he said, have you fellas ever fired off a ship before? We said, no. Oh my God, he said. And he went and he said, we'll throw you something overboard to practice with. So they threw some tea chests over. And of course we'd loaded up. We only opened one box of ammunition. And oh, it was brilliant, it was Tracer. And of course, it was gorgeous shooting these boxes at the sea. And we didn't encounter any aircraft at all that time. We went over.
That's what you were there for, anti-aircraft?
Anti-aircraft, light anti-aircraft. And we went over to Calais, we stayed the night and came back the next day. And then there was a continuation of this. But when we got back that first night, we had to go to the RSM to hand the ammunition in, and he said, you only open one box. Yes, sir. You've fired all the bloody ammunition that the battalion's got. He said, they're a Tracer, you should have had one in five. Well, nobody had told us. You had to load one and five ordinary rounds. So we'd fired all the battalion's Tracer ammunition. Oh, man.
Anything else happened on those trips?
Well, yes.
How many did you do?
Oh, I can't remember.
A lot, or...?
Quite a lot, yes.
And did anything ever happen, or was it just routine?
We were dive bombed, yes.
Now, what do you remember about that?
Noisy, horrible. But we were never hit when I was on, but...
So what could you see here? What can you describe
them?
Well,
they did a sort of half circle, and then they just zoomed down on I don't know, they've made a terrible noise. They must have had, I don't know, a terrific noise as they came down.
They were Stukas, were they?
Yes, but they weren't terribly accurate. I mean, they never hit us. I don't think we hit them because it's not easy firing an aeroplane.
Why not? I mean...
Well, by then we were organising. It was one in five in your trace, so they were always either going underneath them, and if you tried to hose pipe, you didn't have enough rounds with 13 rounds in a magazine to hose pipe. Had it been a belt, you could have sort of hose pipe and done it, but no, there were just 30 rounds. Well, they went very quickly.
So by the time you corrected, you'd run out of ammunition.
It was changed the magazine. Well,
did you know about deflection firing?
You had
to shoot a good deal in front.
Well, we were taught, walking man, you aim at 200 yards, you aim the width of the man. And, oh, yes, we were taught all about that.
But did you know how far to aim ahead of an aircraft?
Well, he was coming straight at us. It was difficult. I mean, they weren't going past like that. They were...
coming straight at
you. You were looking, they were firing. You could see the twinkle of their guns, but they were very inexperienced, as were we, I think.
Were you nervous? I mean, it's your first time under fire.
I was indeed.
How bad did you get it?
I don't know. It's afterwards. Not at the time. You get a bit trembly afterwards, that's all. But it got worse later on, of course. Anyway, that...
Was it just once you were attacked by Stuka?
We did that up until Dunkirk, and then...
So that was, I mean, that's about 6 months you were going backwards and forwards.
Yes. But not every day. I mean, there was a whole lot to choose from. But we always went with the same NCO, this Corporal Leggett.
And anything else happened?
Well, yes, something I can't repeat. If you switch off, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I can't.
No, don't. So anything you can tell us that happened?
Hmm?
Anything you can tell us?
Well, no, Cali was a terrible place in the blackout, and we used to just drink wine at night and get tight. We used to drink something called half and half.
What's that?
It was something Aligoti, a very dry wine, and a Muscatel, I think. We used to mix them, and they're very pleasant.
What was it like drinking in the bars in Cali for
well,
you?
Well, that's what I didn't tell you, see. Well, yes, I can tell you, for heaven's sake. We went in, as naive as could be, there was five of us, that's right, and sat down, and within 2 seconds, I had a naked woman sitting on my knee, and I was petrified.
Because you were only a young lad.
I'd never seen a naked woman, for heaven's sake. I was frightened. I wrote home and told my mother about it the next day.
And did you get drunk, or was it just a drink?
Very legless, yes.
So that's what you're doing. Now, what about, so as Dunkirk comes, well, the German offensive, you know, the Germans start the real war.
Yes.
So what do you remember about that?
Well, we didn't know very much about it doing this sort of thing until, I think it was number two was sunk.
Number two?
I think it was number two ferry that was sunk, and then they were being driven back nearly to Dunkirk, and we came back to Britain, to England, back to Harwich, and the whole battalion, as Dunkirk was happening, we were sent up here to Northumberland.
So you weren't, the ferries weren't involved in the evacuation of Dunkirk then?
They probably were, some of them, but you see, we were taken, well, we knew what had been sunk, and... Wait a minute, yes, we did. We brought one load of wounded men back.
What do you remember about that?
We didn't bring any rail. They put them all on the deck. Stretcher cases and all sorts of things. But
what state were they in?
Hmm?
How badly were they?
Well, some died. I mean, coming home, it was like that. I mean, they were...
Were they getting medical care, or were they just being...
Well, there were orderlies there. Oh, yes, medical orderlies. But then again, you see, they were men that... They just played at soldiers up until that time, and had played at being medical.
So they were inexperienced as well, yes. The orderlies. Mm-hmm. Were you attacked during that trip, when you were carrying a wound?
No. and weren't. Not at all.
So then you move.
Then the whole battalion...
You don't really get involved in the evacuation itself.
No, they got us out of the way, which sent us up here.
Now, where's up here?
To... my company was at Callaly, somewhere at Warkworth.
Now, that's Callaly Castle, is it?
Yes, yes.
Now, how do you spell that?
It's a C-A... No, I don't know where the double L comes in. It's C-A...
We'll have a look.
All the London boys used to call it Callaly.
Well, that seems to imply the double L's the second.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Castle. And that's near where we are here.
Yes,
So that's just outside
2 miles from Whittingham.
We
were billeted. We were given a palliasse thing. And there was bales of straw. We filled them with straw for beds. We did actually get beds.
And you were living in the stable, were you?
I was actually in the stable.
And what was it like, the stable billet?
That damn clock went off every half hour, I think it was then, and we were just underneath it. Oh, it was terrible.
Now, what do you remember of the castle? I mean,
well, then we were, they built Nissen huts up there, which some of the, I think it was a platoon in each Nissen hut, I think, when they got over there. We dug slick trenches up there. And
so you moved into huts?
Yes, yes. I know, I stayed in the stable, but geez, that couldn't accommodate everybody, so they built these Nissen huts as well, you see.
Now, what kind of training were you doing at Callaly Castle?
Well, we dug... Well, first of all, we had to dig pits. Now, I can remember... what was the second lieutenant? We were digging this big trench anyway, and we weren't getting on very well, and he was a brainy lad, and he said, well, put down your shovels, put down your picks. Now, he says, on the word one, he says, jump into the pit. So we jumped in. Now, jump out again. And he did this two or three times. He said, you're bringing more out on your feet than you were on the shovels. Oh, that was officer's humour.
And what were the trenches for? Just practice?
We thought we'd be bombed any time. We didn't know yet.
So they were proper defences.
And then we were deployed.
So they were slit trenches?
Yes. Then we were deployed down the coast.
Hang on. Now, what do you remember?
Wait a minute. When we landed at Roffrey Station, it was a station then. There was a station there, and the WVS met us with cups of tea. Then we went to Cali. It was raining like mad. And we were in a great fleet of camouflaged buses. And the theory was that we were, if paratroopers landed, we were a flying column, and we went to wherever these paratroops had landed, because they didn't know, they thought it was coming across from Norway. That was the thought then. But we were this flying column, and there was just our, we had to do from Blythe to Berwick, I think it was. That was our patrol area. And had any paratroopers landed, we had to.
So you'd mobilise off in your buses from Cali, mm-hmm. and go to wherever they were?
Wherever anything had happened, yeah.
Did you practice that?
Yes.
What were the practices like? What do you remember of them? Did they go well?
Well, no, the buses used to break down. And it was all a joke.
Now, how were you getting on at Cali? I mean, that's where you met your wife, isn't it?
I came the first night we were there. I came down with several of the lads and had a drink. The pub was then just a 6-day license, and there was a Miss Robson in charge, and the first night we were there, she beckoned to me. She said, Sonny, come here. So I went. I'd had one pint of fourpenny beer, I think it was then, and she said, come and see me before you go home. So I did, and she gave me a parcel, ham and egg pie. And the next time we came down, the barmaid, who was called Peggy, said, which way do you come from Cali? I said, all around the road. And she said, there's a shortcut across the fields. I'll come and I'll show you. So this Peggy girl, who was the barmaid, took us and showed us the shortcut across the field. And, I would see her again the next night. She brought my wife with her for company. And that was it.
That's how you met.
That's how we met.
So did you start courting straight away?
She was shorthand typist at County Hall. I saw her several times, but of course you couldn't always get away. Then we had to go down to the coast.
So where did you move to on the coast?
To Boomer.
Boomer?
Boomer.
B-O-O-M-E-R.
B-O-U-M-E-R, Boomer.
Okay.
There's a fishing village.
And when did you go there? You moved to Cali in, what, June? May or
well,
June?
Well, it was Dunkirk time, yes.
Yeah, May or June, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you went to Boomer when, roughly?
Well, we moved around continuously. They moved because some of them were, you know, all the square blocks on Long. Well, our people did all the, they worked for the engineers and they did all the mixing of that concrete and all those blocks and things.
But what, the pillboxes?
No, they were stone blocks.
Tell me what they are. I'm not sure about these. What are they?
Well, they're huge concrete blocks, about 4 feet high, about 4 foot square. There's a great big thick cable running from one to the other. Impossible for tanks to get over. That was the theory.
So anti-tank?
Anti-tank blocks.
And who was, but were you helping him build these?
Well, the engineers were there. They were the boss men, but the infantry did all the hard work.
So what would you do? How would you help?
Just mix cement with shovels.
So acting as labourers.
They made a template thing and they just filled it with...
A template thing with...
Wood. Wood, yeah.
Shuttering.
Uh-huh.
And then you fill it up.
And then this hawser was put between it. I've got a picture of them, actually.
And that was all along the coast?
All along the coast. All where there wasn't a cliff.
So you're doing that. And that was in the Boomer area and along the coast.
Yes. And then... At Boomer, the fishing people were still working, and we had a Mitch Brenz on, not on tripods, but on a, there was a frame that you could do a fixed line with them, and we had the men flayed across the entrance of the harbour, which is comparatively narrow harbour, and we used to have to count the fishing boats out, and then count them back in, and they used to come back. Were quite late, some of them, and then one night somebody miscounted, and evidently they'd been broken down or something. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, chug, 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 and of course they opened up with the machine gun.
Not you, but
no, not me, but I wasn't on good. But they'd got it enfiladed, couldn't miss anything. That was the theory, but the man didn't get touched. Thank God.
So
that's how good we were.
That wasn't a good sign, really, was it? And so how long would you be on? I mean, you were a Bren gunner. What were your stints?
Two hours on and 4 hours off if you were doing guard duty. But when we were in action, well, you were all the time, I mean.
So that's another... Where were you living at Boomer?
Tents again.
Now, so what happened there? Anything else happened while you were at Boomer?
I don't think so. That was the highlight.
So what next?
Then now, let's get this right. We then had to go to what's Greenock? Do they call it the up north? We went on to the, we were put on the Dunottar Castle, the ship.
The which castle?
Dunottar Castle, that was the name of the ship.
Dunottar?
Dunottar, D-U-N-O-T-T-R. But before that, we were issued with pith helmets and tropical kit.
Now, when did you go on board the Dunottar?
But before that, and then we were issued with this tropical kit for 3 weeks, then it was withdrawn.
What do I...
And then we went up onto the Dunottar Castle.
And when would this be?
Ho, ho, ho. I might have the date.
We looked it up. You left in April 1941. And you were going to Gibraltar.
Some went to Gibraltar, but then some of us were immediately shipped over to Oran in North Africa.
Now, what do you remember of the trip?
Being seasick.
Was it bad?
Very bad. And the first meal we got was tripe. Somebody had a distorted sense of humour.
I mean, how badly did you get it? I mean, because seasickness varies a lot.
I eventually ended up under the tarpaulin in a lifeboat, and I didn't move. I was terrible.
Now, so what about, what were conditions generally like on board the ship, on the mess deck down below where you were?
Well, you could hear the bilge keels slopping with vomit, and it was terrible. Dreadful.
What about the food?
Well, as I said, the first meal, I didn't eat anything. I had a bit of dry bread, I think. That's about all I ever ate, and some water. Now, oh, I was terribly sick. Mine, as were lots more.
I've just checked. There's some confusion, but you went in April 43. So you were on these various coastal duties in Northumberland for a long time.
Long time, yes, for a long time. I think it says so in the book there.
Now, so you didn't stay at Gibraltar, though. You went to where?
Well, I was at Gibraltar for something, Jumper's Bastion, and then Four Company was taken over to Oran.
Right, well, tell us about the bit at Gibraltar first. What were you doing there?
Well, we've got lots of stand-tos every day because they were petrified that we'd be invaded from Spain, you see. And we were in Jumper's Bastion, and below us...
Jumper's?
Bastion, B-A-S-T-I-O-N. And below us, it's a concrete, big concrete. Below us were the Navy boys, Commander Crabb. Have you ever heard of Commander Crabb?
Buster Crabb.
Well, Crabby was there, and Rattler and Jock, and like four or five of them that used to go out and dive all the merchant ships in the bay.
Now,
to take limpet mines off. Well, you see, there's none of that mentioned in there, you see. And I used to say, they put me through the tank, put me a Salvis respirator thing on, which had granules in, and you can breathe it and breathe it and breathe it. And they taught me how to dive. They had a tank down on the quay, and I used to go out with them.
Now, what do you remember about these diving operations?
Well, it was fun.
So you were basically checking ships for limpet mines?
They were going along the keels and for any mines on the they detached them, and they brought some back, because they brought some back one day, and they
so
put
they
it
some,
on.
They found some sometimes.
Oh, they've all quite a lot, and you see, they were also they killed a lot of frogmen from the. They were coming out from Algeciras, in Spain, and they were putting these things onto the merchant ships, because there'd be 40 or 50 ships in the bay at a time. And then they started, while we were there, they started throwing depth charges over where the ships were every few minutes to deter these German ones that were doing this sort of thing. But Germany and Spain, they were very much in tow. I mean, you couldn't trust them. Now, because they were working out of Algeciras and La Linea, I think.
Now, what was Buster Crabb? What rank was he then?
I don't know what he'd be.
We can look at him. What was he like?
Tallish lad. He was nice to get on with. And down below there, you came into the harbour sort of bottom. And then there was what they called Admiralty Tunnel, which was the heart of the rock. And he gave us passes. He gave us passes to go through, because these we used to call them Caliente policemen. They were Gibraltarian policemen, were hot, they were. But we had a pass to go through to Sandy Bay to swim. And there was Haggis, Rattler, Jock, and him, I think that's all there were. Because then one day they came running up the stairs, the concrete stairs, to our place. You've got to evacuate the place. They had a bomb of some description, which they had a magnetic jamming device on, but it started to tick again. And Crabby himself stopped there. He stayed below and he disarmed the thing, and we all went away. He's a wonderful man.